Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies the same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, kept by Bob Zimmerman, we have a story that is a tangle of regulation and rocketry. SpaceX, Boca Chica, Starship, the next test, the way to the moon and to Mars. And yet, Bob, a very good evening to you. It looks like a food fight. On one side of the table is SpaceX and the dreams of the 21st century to land on other planets. On the other side is the FAA. What is the story? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, this week we really got a lot of information that maybe has explained why the FAA has become a bottleneck and a serious blockage to this, the development of this rocket. SpaceX, and I've been reporting this the last 3 years, increasingly it looked to me like the FAA was, there were higher political appointees either in the FAA or the White House that was putting hindrances on the regulatory situation against SpaceX. So during this week, the war of words became worse. In the last few weeks, it became obvious that SpaceX was not going to be given a launch license for the next Super Heavy Starship test launch until late November. And at the same time, the FAA also fined it something like $600,000 for extremely petty issues, very petty issues. And they did that a year after the launches occurred when nothing had gone wrong. So it was very clear that there was some harassment was going on. And because of that, SpaceX finally went public, criticizing the FAA in great detail in public letters to House and Senate committee members, describing how this regulatory harassment was interfering with the company and was not justified. Well, this week, the war of words accelerated because the administrator of the FAA, Mike Whitaker, a political appointee, testified in front of the House Transportation Committee, and during his talk, he accused SpaceX of doing wrong things and launching without licenses and not getting the proper permits from the local Texas authorities for its deluge system on the launch site, and stated that the only tool, unquote, that he has to control SpaceX is this fining and regulatory ability, and he says they should comply with the regulations. Well, SpaceX immediately responded with a detailed letter outlining what he got wrong and stated quite clearly in its summary, FAA Administrator Whitaker made several incorrect statements today regarding SpaceX. In fact, every statement he made was incorrect, and they added, it is deeply concerning that the administrator does not appear to have accurate information immediately available to him with respect to SpaceX licensing matters. It also appears they're putting together, their lawyers are putting together the evidence they need when they go to court to sue the FAA and maybe Whitaker directly. This battle of words was escalated later in the week when Musk, in a tweet in response to this testimony that was so wrong by Whitaker, he said Whitaker's resigned. He said it's time to get for this guy to go. If he doesn't know what's going on and he's going to lie in front of Congress, he should resign. And then it was accelerated by Gwen Shotwell, who was giving testimony before a Texas State House Appropriations Committee the same week, the same day that Whitaker was giving testimony in Washington. This testimony had to do with the licensing of the deluge system. The Texas commission that gives the license for this had given a license for SpaceX to do the launch, and it launched. And then the EPA and several other activists came along and said, you didn't get the right permit. You didn't get the right permit. You're using industrial wastewater for this thing, and that's got to be a much more serious permitting process that the EPA should be involved in. And so everything ground to a halt. This is one of the reasons the FAA has not given a license for the next launch, because the EPA has got to step in and investigate whether this industrial wastewater is going to cause a problem. The problem is, as SpaceX has clearly shown, is that it's potable drinking water they're using. It's not industrial wastewater with pollutants in it. And there's every reason for the Texas Commission to give that license out. But now, because they want to get rid of SpaceX, the federal bureaucracy in Washington has come up with reasons to increase its regulatory burden on SpaceX. And she's pointing, and Gwen Trotwell pointed out that this is all, quote, nonsense. And it very clearly illustrates that there's a political war from the Biden administration and political appointees within that administration and the bureaucracy that is mostly a partisan Democrat to hurt Elon Musk simply because Elon Musk has decided to throw his endorsement to Donald Trump and the Democrats, the Republicans. And the thing is, this is an abuse of power because it's very clearly not their job to pick and choose who they're going to abuse because of their someone's political preferences.
A detail, Bob, in the presentation you make in one of your posts, you mentioned sonic boom as a safety issue. What does that mean?
Okay, so SpaceX wants on the next launch to bring Super Heavy back to land at Boca Chica. And just like Falcon Heavy when it launches from Kennedy, when those the Super Heavy comes back, it's going to produce a sonic boom over Boca Chica. Now, sonic booms have been known for a long time. They don't pose any significant safety hazard. We know what they'll do. They'll make a big noise. and it'll make a big noise, and SpaceX will give the FAA specifics on the differences, but it's not significant. But now, Whitaker is claiming it's a safety issue, that sonic boom, and we have to do a lot more analysis before we can permit Super Heavy to make a sonic boom over Boca Chica. That is perfect example of why this is political and corrupt and wrong. This should not be an issue.
Blue Origin, static fire test for New Glenn. This sounds like good news because New Glenn has been slow in development, is it?
This is great news, John. It actually is really great news. The New Glenn rocket, orbital rocket from Blue Origin, was supposed to launch in 2020. It's been in development for more than a decade. But it's way four-plus years behind schedule. Blue Origin has been gearing up to do the launch, it says, before the end of the year. They were targeting early October, but they've now admitted they can't meet that date. However, they surely seem to be finally moving towards an actual launch because this past week they successfully completed a 15-second static fire test of that rocket's upper stage. And this is the first time they have actually done such a thing, done an integrated static fire test of that rocket's engines, fueling it, doing everything they would do during a normal countdown. Now, it was only the second stage. It wasn't the first stage. And they haven't yet done a static fire test of the first stage. And they haven't yet integrated the first and second stages together for a launch. So there's lots still to do. But they actually have now tested the upper stage successfully, which means it essentially is ready to launch. And so we're looking. We don't have a date right now. They have not given us a new date. But it does increasingly look like they're going to be able to launch sometime in the next few months. Whether it'll be before the end of the year is unknown, but they sure do look like they're getting close. Fine.
Zvezda is a module on the ISS developed by Russia that has been critical to the success of ISS for some time. However, my memory is this is where the cracks are. Is that correct, Bob?
That is 100% correct, John. Zvezda was the is one of the key modules that holds the whole station together. You cannot replace it without taking the station apart, essentially. But air leaks started to appear in the station a significant amount about 3 years ago, and after a lot of research, they pinpointed the location to Zvezda itself, and specifically to the port tunnel section that connects to ISS. And what they've determined is that these leaks are coming from stress fractures in the hull of the module. Now, if you think that sounds serious, you're 100% right. Stress fractures are not good. And they think they theorize it's the result of more than 100 dockings that have gone on at Zvezda, which is Russia's main port to the station. It's not the only port, it's the main port. That they've been docking repeatedly Progress freighters and Soyuz to this port. They even use the Progress freighter to raise sees the orbit, which puts more stress on Zvezda while it's docked. They think that's where the stress factors come. Now, the Russians have done a lot of research and done some repairs. They thought they had those air leaks under control. But sometime in the spring of this year, the rate of leaking increased significantly. What has happened is that the Russians have now keep Zvezda's hatch closed in the station all the time, except when they need to go in and out to move a cargo or fuel or supplies. But nonetheless, the leaking has continued, and this means there's a more serious problem with those stress fractures. Remember, it's holding the whole station together. If this module breaks apart, so does ISS. And this all comes from a new Inspector General report that I reported on Behind the Black, which indicated this problem and suggests, the IG suggests strongly, that ISS might not last till 2030, which is when NASA wants to retire the station. And so keep your fingers crossed, because we might be facing a significantly serious problem
here. The highest level of risk in its risk management system. That sounds like a warning, Bob.
Yes, it's a very, and NASA and its press and even the press in the United States has tried to make believe this isn't there, but I don't do that. We can't make believe this is a serious problem. This is one of the reasons the Russians have not agreed to remain a partner past 28, because the Russians know how serious this is, and they're not sure the station is going to last till 30. And so they have not yet committed to being a partner until 30. They'd rather get the station shut down earlier, and so they don't get blamed for a disaster. This underlines the absolute essential need for the four American private commercial space stations presently under construction for them to start to reach orbit and get operational before 28. So it would be really nice to be able to shut down ISS a little bit early because of this problem.
New Zealand, part of the Five Eyes, and an incredibly important part of agriculture. However, we're taking the blue ribbon back that it had because it was comporting with our understanding of speed and rocket launch. What have they done, Bob?
The new government in New Zealand had promised during the campaign that it was going to streamline the licensing process in New Zealand for launches. But now, with a new strategy document published, they've pulled back from that promise. They're not doing it. In fact, if anything, it looks like they want to get the government more involved in everything, which is unfortunate. It appears it's because this new government that made the party that made that promise, it's running the government, but it has to do so through a coalition, and its other coalition partners have made demands upon the coalition, and so therefore they could not fulfill this problem. In a few years ago, I would have said this policy change to not streamline the regulations would have forced companies like Rocket Lab to shift more operations to the U.S., but considering the increased red tape imposed by the FAA's own streamlined regulations, which has made things worse, that doesn't seem to be much of a helpful option right now. We are looking at a possible very serious slowdown in the renaissance in space in the next few years because all the governments involved in the West don't seem to be interested in reducing regulation. They seem to be interested in increasing it.
Lockheed Martin dropping out. Manned lunar rover. Why?
We don't know. There are three companies / partnerships that have won NASA contracts to develop a manned lunar rover for the moon, a sophisticated one, one that is like enclosed. You're not in a spacesuit. You're inside a capsule, essentially, on a rover. One of those consortiums had Lockheed as one of its main partners. This week, we discovered that 3 months ago, Lockheed dropped out of that partnership and it's replaced with a different company, and we do not know why. Both the lead company in the consortium, Luna Outpost, and Lockheed Martin, neither gave any specific reasons for the breakup other than to say it isn't good for us or them. So we don't know why Lockheed's out of the picture right now. Does it hurt this company? Maybe. They don't have a major player any longer as part of their partnership. There are three groups trying to build this design. Once the designs are finished, NASA's going to review it and pick one. And that Lockheed Martin dropped out of this particular proposal might hurt the chances of this particular proposal from winning the contract.
X-37B, the U.S. version and the China version. You've got images. Any difference, Bob?
No, this is an image by an amateur astronomer. It's not very high resolution, but it suggests that the X-37B from China has a delta wing design, and that's just simply we get a little bit more information. We don't really know much about it because the Chinese have been extremely secretive, far more secretive than they normally are, and they normally aren't very transparent.
This is the people who brought you the sunken nuclear-powered submarine, Bob, at the dockside. So we can expect more secrets. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook. Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.